Welcome back to Game Day on ESPN 95.1 The Fan. Sam Ferris joined as always by Max Howell. Max has got a special sponsor we want to say thank you to for sponsoring our show each and every day.
Our good friends at Bogart's Liquor and Wine, located right across from the Holiday Inn on North Gloucester. They got the best sale prices in Tupelo. Jim Beam half gallon, $29.99. Tito Vodka half gallon, $31.99. And the greatest selection of your favorite wines. That's Bogart's on North Gloucester, 662-350-3159. That's just across from the Holiday Inn, Bogart's Liquor and Wine.
And we're going to go straight from that into our next caller on the line. He is our odds man, our numbers guy, Boji Wood. Boji, how you doing today?
Sam, I'm doing great, and I just want to say now, you said I'm your odds guy. Now, I want to go ahead and say I steal all these odds from my partner, Mike Bernard, who's a big handicapper out
so
in Vegas.
You don't want to get blamed for anything.
I don't want to get blamed for nothing. I'm telling you right now. I just parrot what he tells me on our show. And, Max, I got a bone to pick with you. You know, I've been promised a Bogart gift package for about 6 weeks now. I ain't got nothing, man.
When the season's over,
yes,
I'll be sure that you get that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hold you to that now, Max.
I can handle that. Yeah, I can do that. All right. Let's talk about it. Rivalry week coming up, and we'll briefly talk about some of the games this past week. Of course, over here, you can guess what the biggest conversation's been. Was the catch or non-catch of the wide receiver in the end zone in overtime by A.J. Brown on the Ole Miss, costing the ball game. But everything, Boji, we've seen and heard, the rule was interpreted and called as the rule says. Now, notwithstanding that it may be a bad rule, but we right after you today, we've got an official, a retired official that has officiated in the SEC and in the high school level to come on and explain that. I had a long conversation yesterday with him, and he agrees. He said the rule, the call was right, but the rule's bad. And he said he did look, because of the immediate backlash that it caused around the conference, he looks for that rule to be changed over the next few months.
Well, you know, and Max, they changed the rule previously because, if you will remember, and I can't remember what year it was, but Spurrier was still at Florida, so obviously it's been many years ago. They're playing up in Knoxville. And I don't want to say Shane Matthews was playing quarterback. I mean, it's been that long ago. And at the end of the game, Tennessee is trying to hold the Gators out of the end zone, and they throw a pass, and the guy catches the ball, and as his feet hit the ground, he does have possession of the ball in the end zone, but he really doesn't complete the catch, and the Tennessee player knocks it out of his hand. And, of course, they called it a touchdown. But now, being an old defensive guy, I thought it was an incomplete pass. And just like Saturday night, I thought it was an incomplete pass. So, you know, that was part of the genesis of them changing the rule to read, you must complete the catch. And so, again, I agree with the official that you're going to have on that as the rule is – it was the right call. And as an old defensive coordinator, I like the rule.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The one that I read, having coached on the defensive side as well, if I'd have been an offensive receiver coach, I'd have been all over him for not bringing the ball to his body. If you remember, he kept the ball at arm's length the whole time. And I do think he had control of it. But it's still questionable from, from an official standpoint. It is questionable. When you've got it out there and subject to have to lose control of the ball. And obviously, not only lose control, he lost the ball.
Yeah.
The defensive back just rolled over and took it away from him.
Yeah, and Max,
he didn't bring it close to his body.
Yeah, and see, and that was the thing. It looked to me like he purposely took the ball from two hands to one hand. And
yep, he did. I think that's right.
And so I'm with you. I mean, if I'm, and every receiver coach that I've ever been around, it's like you secure the football,
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Boji.
You know, Boji, I brought up a point before we went on the air today. I see a lot of younger football players. I don't know if you want to call it a showboating-like maneuver, but a lot of times what you see is guys, after they go to the ground, they do that thing where they pop the ball up on purpose. And the A.J. Brown maneuver that you're talking about, it didn't quite get to that point, but it looked like that may have been where it was going, where he was pumped up and excited about having caught the pass, and he knew in his mind he caught it,
mm-hmm.
and he was getting in that position to pop the ball up and celebrate, and things just went awry after that. But, again, it goes back to the fundamentals of what Max was saying, where it just didn't look right from a standpoint of doing the fundamental thing and protecting mm-hmm. the football, what used to be taught.
Exactly that, and you look at it. Everything that you watched, it says yes, he's got control of the football, but again, it's completing the catch. And as you said, Sam, a lot of these receivers today, they feel like they need to put an exclamation point on really on any catch. But and again, I can understand the kid being excited in the end zone, thinking that he is that he's caught, you know, possibly a game winner or what have you. But at the same time, you know, kind of goes back to the old thing. And Max, we used to preach it all the time: it's team over me, and you've got to protect the football. You've got to put the team first. You know, if the team wins, there's enough praise and credit and hot dogging this to go around for everybody.
I don't think it's that. Just a couple of games I want you to comment on. You know, I go back and I just got off with a group up in North Alabama just a moment ago about the Alabama game, and they were all big Alabama fans, and they were concerned about Citadel, you know, keeping the score close at halftime. And they had asked me, the same group had asked me last week, how do you stop the triple option? Well, that you coach on that side. You got an inside linebacker take the dive. You got a corner you got a safety or outside guy going to take the quarterback, and you got a corner that's going to come up and take the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alabama, the corner, number four on that first touchdown Citadel got, well, you came up and took the quarterback.
Right.
Well, the pitch man was wide open right mm-hmm. down the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how you can make that kind of mistake when the outside guy has to take the most out. That's a simple rule. The outside guy takes the most outside possibility. And that didn't happen. I think they would have stopped it. So your comments about playing a team like Georgia's got Georgia Tech this week, mm-hmm. you don't see that triple option very much anymore, and the amount of time you have to spend to prepare for that.
Max, you know, back when you and I were in the game, the triple option, obviously it was the same type of attack that you see now. However, most teams would see the triple option two or three, and depending
right.
upon what conference you played in, see it more than that. But everybody used to see it two or three times a year. So teams were more adept at stopping the triple option. But now when you may only see it, you know, once every two or three years, you know, it can give you the biggest headache in the world. And back then, again, when you've got more time to prepare for it, you can get a little exotic, you know, and play little games where we're going to slow play the quarterback, and all of a sudden at the last minute, the end's going to go to pitch and the corner or the safety's going to come up and take quarterback, or you do what we used to call banjo. You're going to crash down the end on the dive, and you're going to let that linebacker loop out and take quarterback. So you can, you know, back in those days when you were seeing it a lot and preparing for it, you could be exotic. But when you're like Alabama and some of these other schools that only see it, you know, maybe once a year, you, like you said, you've got to just play fundamental football, and you've got to say, hey, we've got our inside guys to take the dive. You know, we're either going to have an outside linebacker or an end take the quarterback, and we're going to let the cornerback or safety, we're going to let them take the pitch. And again, you know, they have little blocking nuggets that they can throw on you and that can get somebody free every now and then. But especially when you're Alabama and you're playing a much, you're overmatched, you know, from a talent standpoint, you've just got them overmatched. You've just got to play good, sound, fundamental football. But again, Max, you know this as well as I do. How many times, you know, Nick Saban's going to show them select plays from that game Saturday, and he's going to say, now wait a second, if the Citadel can do this to you and they don't have a player on their team that we even recruited, imagine what Auburn's going to do to you. Oh, he will play this up to the hilt.
Oh, yeah, he's already started. If you remember in his press conference, he said that basically, mm-hmm. that there's not a player on that team that could make our roster. And yet, you know, you let those guys score 10 on you right quick and tie mm-hmm. the score at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. He uses everything. All right, we're getting a little bit close. Got to run more and more by. Let's talk about Auburn. Got to get 53 on Liberty. No surprise there. Which Auburn team goes to Tuscaloosa?
Oh, gosh. I can't answer that question. I can tell you this, though. Mike Bernard was talking about this morning that Alabama has opened as a 24.5-point favorite.
Right.
And it almost immediately they were bet down to a 24, in some places 23.5. One thing when you have to look at this game is that, you know, Bama has won 7 of the last 10. Every one of the victories that Auburn has over the last 10 years, you know, it has a nickname. It was the comeback. It was the kick
right.
six. Last year it was the kick butt, using the country word, though. And that's what it was. And, you know, Auburn, you know, I don't think Auburn's got another one of these special games in them against Alabama this year. I think Auburn, I think Auburn will fight. I don't think there's any doubt they'll go down and they'll play loose. But I just don't think in the end that they're going to have enough firepower to beat Alabama. I think Alabama's defense is ultimately going to make Auburn one-dimensional, and it doesn't matter which way it is. They're going to make them one-dimensional, and once they get them one-dimensional, they'll take care of business.
All right, next week, I'm going ahead and tell you, certainly we're going to try to talk Georgia and Alabama, mm-hmm. and really does Georgia have a really legitimate chance to knock Alabama off that number one post, and either one of those guys, or depending on what Michigan does, or maybe both of them get in the playoffs. Just think about that over the weekend, because I'm going to call you Monday morning, and we're going to try to get you on there next Monday.
That sounds good. Real quick before we go, Max, I know you're up against a break here, but 11 of the 14 teams in the SEC are going to be bowl eligible. The only ones not going, Ole Miss because of the probation. They're eligible but can't go because of the probation. Arkansas, of course, in their first year under Chad Morris. And then the loser of the Tennessee-Vandy game won't go. The winner will. But if Vandy loses with that APR, you know, if it gets down to the 5-7 teams, they may even right. have a chance to go.
Hey, look, more money coming into the conference, better off everybody is.
That's right.
That's
we need more.
That's the way they look at it.
We need to get more than $41 million a year, because that's what we got last year.
Oh, yeah, and that's the truth. Well, yeah, hey, you know what? You know, God bless them. I'm proud. I love the capitalistic system, don't you?
I just wish I was still coaching, Max.
Well, you know why? You just like me. You were born too soon.
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly. They didn't tell me I was too old.
Yeah.
They just said, your birthday came too early.
That's right.
So, anyway, Boji, thank you so much. Always a great report. We'll talk next week.
Do it, Max. Thank you, Sam. See you, buddy.
All right. Thank you. We got it.